With this opportunity to preach this morning, I believe God has laid on my heart to preach from the 119th Psalm. If you have your Bible, I will invite you to turn to Psalm 119. Certainly, we are in preparation for Vacation Bible School here at Emmanuel, which, by the way, will be in full swing next Sunday evening, beginning at 6 p.m. We are anticipating a number of students and volunteers to work and be involved in Operation Arctic. It is going to be an exciting time as we explore the coolest book on the planet and how we can know for sure that the Bible is God's divine word, revelation to man. If you have not already registered your child for Operation Arctic, I hope you will. And you can register by taking a moment, preferably after the service, not now, but take a moment and visit our church's website, ebchurch.net, and locate that registration tab and register your child. Vacation Bible School is for preschool through 8th grade this year. And while this commercial is running, let me share that there's still need for volunteers. And so if that would be you, certainly 9th grade and older are able to volunteer as helpers this year. And likewise, if you'll go to our church's website, you'll find a volunteer registration tab. If that's you, I hope you will take time to consider how you might conserve this year at Vacation Bible School. Every day, we are bombarded with the message that the Bible isn't the Word of God, that it can't be trusted to tell us the truth about God, man, and eternity. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it must be trusted, for the Bible is absolute truth. Psalm 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, 160, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Isaiah 40, 7 and 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." The Bible is the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible, and the eternal word of God. It is authoritative, adequate, and absolute. In the words of Dr. Adrian Rogers, "If you do not know, love, understand, practice, and obey the word of God, I can tell you without stutter, stammer, or apology that you are not a victorious Christian." We must believe and we must embrace the Bible as God's holy word, for he makes clear his character and his nature, mankind's character and nature, and how man can be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. With the theme verse of Operation Arctic being Psalm 119, I want to preach on this prayer of the need for open eyes. The psalmist needed his eyes open, and so do you and I this morning. Psalm 119, 125, "For I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." If we are to learn God's word, and if we are to love God's word, and if we are to live God's word, then our eyes, spiritually speaking, must be open. With your Bible open to Psalm 119 and verse 18, will you please stand for the reading of God's true and transforming word? I'm going to read 17 and 18. "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law." Let us pray. Father God, may the presence and the power of your mighty Spirit fill this place, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to understand, and ready feet to apply your holy word to our life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux was right when he said, "He who is his own pupil has a fool for his master." You cannot teach yourself how to live right. Others can't teach you how to live right. The world surely can't teach you how to live right. But God and God alone is the master teacher. And it is He who we should turn to and sit under and listen to. Notice what the psalmist declares, Psalm 119, verse 12. "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Psalm 119, 26. "I declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." Psalm 119, 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." Psalm 119, 66. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." Psalm 119, 124. "Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes." You and I would do well to make it our practice to open up our Bible, lean in, listen to, and learn from the master teacher, God Himself. The psalmist in his day would have read and been exposed to, have heard the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, as God's divine revelation to man, His revealed will to man. The psalmist, though, did not have half the Bible, but he prized it more than some men prized the whole Bible. He believed God's word to be of greater worth and value than silver or gold. God's word was precious to him. God's word needs to be precious to us. Psalm 119, 72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." Psalm 119, 127, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, that than fine gold." And Psalm 119, we can see the psalmist acknowledge the righteousness of the word of God. If you read it in its entirety, you'll see that he acknowledged the righteousness of the word of God. And he desired to know it, absorb the meaning of the word of God, and he longed to acquire the blessing of the word of God. For many in the church today, notice I didn't say world, I said church. For many in the church today are foolishly exchanging the truth of God's word for lies. Because we're not in it, we don't know it, and we don't live by it. And so therefore we'll exchange it, certainly for temporary happiness and satisfaction. But the psalmist has the right perspective on the word of God, and knowing that it is far greater than gold or silver, diamonds, or any precious jewel, for in it lies the hope of man, the truth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Yet we must embrace the Scriptures and allow its teaching and instruction to transform us so that we may know Him and be able to make Him known to a lost and dying world. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, the key to observing Scripture, observing the text, and interpreting the text, and eventually applying the Word of God correctly in our life, lies in the power of prayer. And so we see here in Psalm 119 and verse 18, the psalmist's prayer, and one we would do well to pray ourselves as we seek to know and understand God's Word. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. You see, the psalmist, he is not physically blind. You see, he can see things. He can see his surroundings. He can see to read. But hear me this morning. Reading the Bible is not like reading any other books. For God's Word is not just another book among books. It is unique. There is no other book like it in the entire world. It is the only book God divinely inspired and revealed to man. You see, the reason the psalmist prays to God, open my eyes, and the reason such prayer must accompany our Bible reading is that within ourselves we have zero, zilch, nada, any power to understand and know the wondrous things there within Scripture. We are fallen and corrupt, dead in our sin, and therefore blind and ignorant and hard to the truth of God's Word. Spiritually speaking, our eyes are blinded by sin. We all need the gracious work of the Holy Spirit to reveal to us our sinful condition before God, that we might by faith receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus is the sinless Son of God, that He died on the cross as the perfect and righteous sacrifice for the sins of man, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb and 3 days later rose victoriously. Walking out of the grave signified His power over sin, His power over death and the grave. And by walking out of that grave, He revealed that His death was accepted by God as complete and full payment for my sin and your sin. The sins for the entire world. John 20, 31 says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Romans 10, 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the good news about the good news is that once we repent of our sin and receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, then we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who has the ability and the authority to illuminate our blind eyes so that we can understand and know what we're reading as we turn to the Word of God. W.A. Criswell identified the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit with the presence of Jesus Himself. He said, Jesus, though, is no longer with us in the flesh to explain, to instruct, and to teach us all of the wondrous things that we need to know and to show us all the things we need to do. The Holy Spirit is given to us that we might know and understand the Bible in order that we might learn it, love it, and live it. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I want you to notice three things from this prayer this morning. Number one, it is a personal prayer. The psalmist, he comes before God. What does he say? Open my eyes. His eyes are blind. Your eyes are blind. My eyes are blind. So personally, we need to come before God and call out to Him. It is a personal prayer. And He wants to see. God help me to see. God is a personal God. He desires you to see. He wants you to see. But we must want to see too. And say, God, help me to see. Notice that it is a specific prayer, that I may know and understand wondrous things. God, I know your word is precious. God, I need you to help me see, help me know, help me understand what you are teaching, what you want to teach me, what you want me to know, because I want to know it. And I need you. You know, I hope your heart's desire is, God, I want to know your word. I want to love your word. I want to practice your word because I want to honor and glorify you. I want to magnify your great name. And it's going to come when we turn to the word of God and when we read it and we say, oh God, help me to see it. And then we see it and it transforms us. Listen, it is a needed prayer. Without your help, God, I will not know nor understand or be able to apply the instructions for holy, righteous, and victorious living. The psalmist needed God's help, and so do you and I. You see, without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working to help us understand the truth of Scripture and its blessed benefits, the psalmist, as well as you and I, you see, we can open the Bible and we can pass through its paragraphs and we can go over its pages and see nothing of its splendor, see nothing of its worth or value or its excellencies. You see, without calling on God to open our eyes, we will be like a man traveling throughout the country in a Greyhound bus at midnight. You see, we won't be able to see and behold the wondrous things that are so beautiful and beneficial as they may be. We won't be able to see without God's divine help. And that's going to come when you and I open up the Word of God, turn to Him, and call out and cry out, oh God, help me. Oh God, speak to me your living word. You see, what perfect precepts and what profitable provisions, what precious promises and what priceless privileges are neglected because we wander among the Bible like blind men among the beauties of nature and ask not for divine illumination to see, to know that we may grow. You see, I'm not as faithful of a student in spending quality time in the Word of God as I need to be, as I should be or want to be. And I would expect the same could be said of many of you here this morning. But friend, that should not cause you nor I to further neglect being a reader and a receiver of God's transforming truth. Yet instead, it ought to prompt us to take hold of our Bible, steal away to some place where we can have some one-on-one time with the true and living God, asking Him to open up our eyes, teach our hearts, guide our feet. Psalm 119, 33 and 35 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, that I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. When God opens our eyes, we're going to see things we never saw before. You see, when God opens our eyes, we're going to hear things we never heard before. And when God opens our eyes, we're going to know things we never knew before. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach us. He desires to teach you and me. He wants to teach you and me. Are we teachable? And if so, call out to God and let Him teach you. Our eyes will be open and God will help us see His character, the judgment for sin and disobedience, the blessings for faith and obedience. I'm telling you what, we'll see Jesus, Savior, and the sacrifice for sin, and we'll see His coming kingdom and glory. So ask God, the Holy Spirit, to join you in the examination of the Bible so that you will be able to make application of it to your life. D.L. Moody was right when he said, God did not give us the Scriptures to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. The goal of Scripture, the goal of spiritual instruction is an obedient life. Many of us are familiar with the story in Acts chapter 8 concerning Philip's providential meeting with an Ethiopian. They met in the Gaza Strip, and where this African dignitary was sitting in his chariot. He was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch answered, "How can I unless someone guides me?" You see, that's the crisis point every one of us must come to. Our human, finite, and sinful minds cannot comprehend biblical truth without the help of the perfect teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we must pray, "Open my eyes that I may see, know, and understand your word." You see, when you kind of put this together, as we look to the Bible, we have divine revelation. Praise God, we have the Scriptures, God's word. We need divine illumination, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we have and we need. When you've got revelation plus illumination, I'm telling you what, there's going to be some internal transformation, a change of the heart, a change of attitude about the things of God. And internal transformation will result in external application. That is the goal. Internal transformation and external application is my understanding of the process of sanctification. That is God's work in the believer's life, is to sanctify them. The progressive work of the Holy Spirit helping believers grow and mature in holiness and righteousness for the glory of God. John 17:7 says this, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. Found in the pages of Gideon Bibles is this message. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man and the way of salvation, the doom of sinners and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here too, heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. So read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mind of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be open at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That is the Word of God. And we need to know the Word of God. But in order to know the Word of God, we've got to turn to the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who breathed. one who inspired it. Joshua 1:8. The Bible, this book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have great success.